Hey guys, welcome back to Vertical Momentum. I'm your host, Richard Kaufman, also known as the Comeback Coach. Yes, you're seeing me for the sixth time today. So I want to say thank you to Vertical Momentum Coffee for keeping me upright and keeping me motivated. Guys, this is going to be a great episode. If you love reality TV, if you love somebody that has a comeback story that has pivoted multiple times, this is the episode for you. Sam Rivera, thank you so much. Love you. Thank you for everything you do for us. You keep our show going. So Kelly Chase is a reality TV star, author, speaker, podcast host. She's the Swiss Army knife of positivity. So I'm just walking to have, thankful to have you, Kelly. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing really well. Thank you. And I'm a soon to be author. Correct that.
Well, no, I know it's coming. I've been studying you and I know it's coming. That's why I said that.
Thank you. I love it.
I'm just putting it out there in the universe. So it's coming. There we go. So tell us a little bit about, first question is, your life hasn't always been sunshine, rainbows, unicorns, and Skittles. So what is your definition of resiliency?
That is a great question. My definition of resiliency is the effort to keep going and being able to be vulnerable with yourself and really authentic with yourself, truthful and honest with yourself, and in turn, doing the same to other people. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable, be transparent, be raw with people, because honestly, I think that's like the biggest way to connect with people is through your vulnerability and sharing your struggles. You know, I'm one to share struggles as they're happening. Some people don't think that that's the best thing, you know, but I do. And it just, like I said, it helps connect people and make them feel less alone. And I think that there's strength and power in numbers in a sense. So by doing that, it just builds this strength on the inside to be like, okay, you know what? It helps to like release the pressure of any challenge that you're going through by talking it through. And with that, I think you just get stronger and stronger. And then just having the ability to pivot. I feel like I do that. I mean, right before we started, you know, going live, I was telling you, I'm kind of like, I had to take a step back in order to like slingshot myself forward, relaunching my podcast. And I feel like I've just been able to do that with a lot of different areas of my life. Like I'll take a step back and I'll keep going. And, you know, I was not raised, I didn't have like, I would say maybe like an entrepreneurial mindset for, you know, my entire life up until about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And then I started to develop that entrepreneurial mindset. And I think my definition of that is resiliency. Like you have to have resilience in order to be an entrepreneur, to have that mindset, to keep going, to know that your failure is actually when you like keep failing because you keep failing forward. Every single time you fail, you learn something, you pivot, you make a correction, you do something different. Otherwise, if you keep doing the same thing, that's the definition of insanity. So, you know, it's like, it's just being vulnerable with yourself, connecting with others, and allowing yourself to pivot, just move. And that's okay. And your action over time is going to create more clarity and it's going to create more strength. And with that, you just become more resilient and you know that, wow, I went through this challenge. I didn't die. You know, like, I think our biggest fear is like our biggest fear, you know, particularly I feel like for women is like disappointing people. And I feel like at the end of the day, even though you've gone through a challenge and you may have disappointed other people or even yourself at the time, you make this like comeback and you're like, okay, well, I'm doing it this way and now I'm on top of the world. And so it's just like through every little challenge, if you can just try and have the gratitude and shift your mindset into like, okay, well, what, there has to be another way to do this. There has to be a way to like overcome this. How can I shift my perspective? Okay, this like really terrible experience happened to me, for me. What can I do with that?
And that's one of my favorite quotes. Things don't happen to you. They happen for you. And everything is a teachable moment. My brother, Ed Milet, always talks to me about that. So, you know, if people would see you now, they'd see you're successful podcast host, actor, business person. But your life, like I said, hasn't been all rainbows, Skittles, and unicorns. So give us the quick down and dirty about who you are, where did you come from, and how did you become the force that you are today?
Yeah, I grew up in Georgia. I still live in Atlanta. But I experienced, I think, my biggest thing was, which I call a trauma in my life. I experienced this really heavy trauma in college. And I didn't, you know, it was a gamut of from sexual to emotional to physical abuse, and went to one therapy session after that situation. And I didn't have a great therapy session, let's put it that way. And so I was like, I'm fine. And I now understand, because I have been to therapy and I've worked with a lot of different coaches, mindset, inner child healing, you know, do all the deep shadow work and stuff. And I understand that all of my behaviors, like I can look back and be like, wow, I regret doing this. I'm ashamed for doing this. Like some of my behaviors, although I'm a very happy-go-lucky person, I know that I've done some things that probably weren't for the best for me. And not to say that all of that is stemming from that trauma from college, because I know actually, obviously, like how we're raised and just different environmental factors and societal factors play a lot into this. But that experience in college really impacted me. And I think I just kept, you know, I was a workaholic. I'm still a workaholic, but I will say this, me being a workaholic in my 20s was very passionless. I had no purpose. I was just going to work for a paycheck to see my friends. I was constantly hustling, trying to make more money, because, you know, the harder you work, the more money you'll make, and the more successful you'll be, and the more valuable you'll be, and the richer you'll be, and the more free you'll be, and all this stuff. But I had no passion. And so it's like the money, I just felt like I was on a constant hamster wheel all the time and doing the same repetitive behaviors. Nothing was changing. The types of relationships that I was experiencing, everything was very much the same. And like I said, just nothing was changing. And in 2017, I left a corporate job that I was at for almost 8 years. That's when I had started to, dive into the personal development space. And I leaned really heavy. I was health coaching at the time. So I was making enough money that replaced my 9-to-5 salary. So I was like, okay, this is what they all say. You can leave your job. Was it more than enough? Probably not. But it was enough to float each month and pay my bills and stuff. But, you know, I left and I pursued just the coaching, because that was the reason why I did that, was because I was receiving messages like, you're changing my life. And I'd been at a company for 8 years and I'd never heard that. Right. So it was like something I was like, okay, I need to lean into this. Like, I am passionate about that health coaching at the time. And I was like, I really need to lean into this. And so I started diving into the personal development, listening to podcasts, reading a lot of books, switching a lot of things in my life. Instead of going out and drinking and binge drinking and staying out till 3 o'clock in the morning, I was at home reading a book on my couch and going to bed at 9 p.m. Like, there was just a lot of transition that happened in that late 2017, early 2018. And with that, you know, I felt like I was on a really good path. And then I was invited to be on Love is Blind, the reality show, to film the show. We filmed the show in 2018. And, you know, that was a extremely emotionally charged experience. That it was 7 weeks, 7.5 weeks. I was fully submerged. I was falling for someone. And in a blink of an eye, it was over. Everything was gone. And so I felt like I was like, had like PTSD. Like, I felt like I just had experienced an extreme trauma. I did work with a mindset coach of probably about a month after the show wrapped filming. And honestly, it was to avoid what I had been doing my entire 20s and early 30s. I was, you know, because like I said, I was a constant workaholic and just like looking for external validation, all this stuff. And that's kind of what I did. I was like, well, okay, that didn't work out. So I'm just going to like go all in on my business. I need to hire a business and mindset coach and go do all of that. And honestly, she just like put a mirror up in front of me and was like, look at yourself, Cal. You know, like, we need to do some work here. And that was the beauty of working with the mindset coach, because she revealed a lot of my inner child wounds to me and was like, you and I, that was maybe the first time that I'd really spoken to someone about that trauma on that level of depth, from college. And then also I had just come from filming the show. So I told her about that as well. And, you know, she just really revealed to me like what my pains were. And wow, you've never talked about this. You've never really actually started healing from these things. So she took me through a path of like I said, that inner child work and the pain of rejection. A lot of it was rejection wounds were coming up, abandonment wounds. And oftentimes when we have abandonment wounds, we abandon ourselves. And that's exactly what I had been doing. And then, you know, I kind of got a little bit stable, 2019. I did go back into the corporate space. So here we are from corporate to entrepreneur back to corporate, because I ran out of money. I got like $30,000-$40,000 in debt. So financial struggles. I mean, and I kept trying to like make my coaching work. And I was like, my parents were like, Kelly, you have got to get a job. Like, you can't just keep trying to make this work. Like, it's not working for you right now. And I don't know if it was just like, because I was unlearning who I was. So I felt chaotic. And so my business felt chaotic. Everything was just very dysregulated at the time. And I needed that consistency. But I was like, you know, my pride was stepping in. I was like, I don't want to go back to a 9-to-5. I'll feel like a failure. You know, like, oh, my business didn't work out. Like, you know, and you start pondering what everyone else is thinking about you. Oh, she must not be doing that great in the entrepreneurial world. You know, so it was really difficult. But I did. I went and got the 9-to-5 job. I kept with the coaching stuff, though, at the time. And it, you know, I was able to pay my bills and there was some consistency there. But it was definitely a job that I did not love. But I had to stick with it. Then the show aired in 2020, and that was another very traumatizing time of my life, because the show aired, and although a lot of people felt like, you know, and I did too, you know, for the most part, my character was not edited or produced in a bad way. But at the end, my story was produced and in a way that I didn't love, and it wasn't the truth of what happened really. And so I had a lot of people on social media in particular reaching out, and this show had 30 million views in 2020. Okay. And now it's been on 6 seasons. So people go back and watch season 1 all the time. Every time there's a new season, people will go back and watch. And I still get messages. Now they don't really bother me, but back in the day they did. You know, the first couple of seasons, I would still get messages, but, you know, just attacking my character and who I was. And I'm like, wow, like especially in 2020 when it first aired and people were attacking my character and telling me, you know, like sending me messages like, you're going to die alone, and just like terrible messages. It really affected me because, again, in 2018 and 19, I was like unlearning all of who I thought I was, right? And who I thought I should be. And now I'm learning my authentic self. But now the world, 30 million people are watching this and they're telling me who I am and who I'm supposed to be. And I got very lost in that. The social media world is very scary and it can be very enlightening. I try to stay as much true to myself as possible, but I mean, I could go back on my social media. I mean, it's been 4 years now, but I can go back through my social media and be like, that post was so not me. Like, that was me being persuaded by something or giving the people what they wanted and not really staying true to me in certain instances. But with that being said, you know, I just kept showing up. I ran into someone who had been on a different reality show a handful of months ago, just happened to connect. And he asked me, are you like on social media? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I don't know how you're doing that. He's like, cause it, like the show that he was on, he goes, it affected my mental health so bad. He was like, I couldn't be on social media. Like, there's no way like that I would have, you know, offed myself. Like, it just wasn't for him. And I probably, you know, in hindsight, maybe there's a part of me that's like, maybe I should have like pulled back and not shown up so much, not been so available for the criticism in a sense. But, you know, it's kind of now that it's been so long. And again, those messages don't really affect me anymore. I feel like I've really turned the leaf and I'm starting to become even more authentic. That's why I'm like relaunching the podcast. I almost feel like the last 4 years, I would like feel like I'd go all in on something and then maybe I'd feel like people were criticizing something, so I'd stop doing it. And then I would like go back and start doing something else and maybe I'd get criticized for it and I'd pull back on it again. Like, it was like this stop, you know, start and stop motion of activity that I was doing and creating a lot of insecurities, like unnecessary insecurities. I'm like, Kelly, and you know, through coaching, because I started pivoting my business more into like life and mindset coaching too, and business coaching a bit. And I would, you know, I would hear myself advise my clients, you can't lean into what other people think of you. Like, this is your business. It's not about you. It's about this people that you're here to serve and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like hearing myself say it and I'm like, but you're not doing that, Kelly. You're not doing that. But so it definitely like, I just felt very out of alignment, very chaotic with everything. I mean, granted, I was able to, with my newfound, you know, celebrity title, I've had opportunities to pay off my debt and things like that. But, you know, like I said, I had gone back into the corporate world, and after the show, about a year after the show aired, I was working during that time. I was working full time. I was trying to run my business. I was doing the brand stuff, and creating content is a lot. It's a lot of effort. For those who don't know, it's a lot of effort. And when you're on a time crunch because they need it posted on this certain day, but you have to like send them, you know, the like a mock-up first and, you know, to get approval and all of that. So it was a lot. Plus I'm like trying to, you know, have a social life and everything too. I wound up having 2 panic attacks or nervous breakdowns. I don't know what they were because I never went to the doctor about it. I just knew it was something I had never experienced before, but it was literally a year to the day of Love is Blind season 1, episode 1 airing. I had panic attacks. I woke up at 6 a.m. both Saturday and Sunday morning, Valentine's weekend, racing thoughts, heart like beating out of my chest. I was like, what is happening? I couldn't slow it down. Obviously, I'd never went through that before. So of course, I'm like trying to make it stop, which apparently makes it worse. So I was just like, oh my God, so anxious. And like I said, it happened again on Sunday too. And I wound up spending like a week at my parents' house. And as soon as my dad was like, okay, are you ready to go back home? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not ready to go back home. I mean, the anxiety just like rose again. I mean, granted, that whole week, I mean, I literally did not do anything except for just like watch TV with my parents. But it rose again. And I told my parents, I was like, it's not healthy. Like, I can't keep doing all the things. And I get it. Like, my mom at the time, she was like, well, why don't you stop coaching and just focus on your 9-to-5 that has the consistent income coming in? And when you get brand deals, create the content for them. But, you know, pull back on social media, do all the things. And like, there was a part of me that was like, I can't. You're telling me to stop living my passion. Like, you're telling me to stop showing up in my, like, in things that make me happy. And so I was like, I absolutely can't, you know. Granted, in hindsight, I'm like, well, yeah, I probably should have at the time because I was so like all over the place. But, you know, I wish also at that time when the show rolled out, I wish that I had the financial freedom to have not been able to work a 9-to-5.
Because, you know, what's amazing is because I just had one of the main actors from Karate Kid 3 on, Sean Kanan. And something we were talking about is how the population and the audiences, they'll build you up, but then tear you down just as quick. So you'll have all the lovers and then all of a sudden they become the haters. And you're like, I'm still the same person I was when the first day we shot. And then the day, what happened here? So, I think a lot of people are just, there's a lot of jealousy out there. And also a lot of people, they just hate to see other people succeed.
Right.
And I think the reason why most people fail or don't even start to be an entrepreneur is because they care what Aunt Sally or Uncle Joe thinks they shouldn't do it. And then they never do it. Right.
Yeah. It's so true. It's interesting because it is more your like friends and family, like your close people that you have these insecurities about. Like, you know, I'll tell people, hey, you know, like, a lot of, online coaches and whatnot, like that's kind of who I cater to at times. And they'll say, you know, I have my personal Instagram account and then I have my coaching Instagram account. And I'm like, I have a personal one. When I first started using Instagram, you know, 13 years ago, whenever it started, like I had a personal account and then I launched my health coaching business and I created a health coaching account. That is my account, Chase Life with Kelly. That is my health coaching account that I started 13 years ago. I have only like my personal account. I have not touched probably in 10 years, like, because you are your brand. Like you are that. So why would you have, I get it. Like if you have like different products, you know, if you have like a brick and mortar and you're selling this over here and you know, that there's like a conflict of interest and it would confuse people. I get it in that regard. But if you like have like one business and that is like your, it makes sense to just do one and be you and just show up that way. And, you know, that was even a thing that I struggled with as well. I was like, maybe I'll use the Chase Life with Kelly Instagram account for, you know, just like the influencer stuff. Cause that now everybody, like, that's where the world has seen me. Like that's where they came to when they found me from Love is Blind. And then maybe I should like start doing this kind of content on Facebook and this kind of content on LinkedIn and this kind of content on TikTok. And I'm like, that is a lot. Like my brain is going to explode. I'm like, work smarter, not harder. We'll create one video and post it on all platforms. Like that way you get your true authentic message out to the audiences that are using each thing. And if you only want to drill in on one and you only want to grow a brand on Instagram, then just use Instagram. Who cares? Like no one is telling you, well, you have to do this in order to be successful. Like it doesn't matter. You know, you could be totally successful knocking on doors. Like there's so many highly successful business owners who don't even have social media and they're billionaires, you know, it's like, who cares?
I'm sure Warren Buffett is not checking his TikTok every day.
I don't think so. You know, I'm sure these people have teams of people, they're uploading the thing so that they can be out doing whatever they want to be doing. So, you know, it's just interesting, but yeah, I mean, I just feel like, you know, I've gone through a lot of different things, you know, for also health challenges. 2015 was, I gained like 25, 30 pounds. And it's not to say the number on the scale, it doesn't matter. It's how you feel inside. And I did not feel good. You know, I didn't feel good. I jacked up my hormones and I still to this day, I mean, it's almost been 10 years. I still to this day have issues, gut issues, hormonal issues, all of that. I've worked with multiple functional medicine doctors. Granted, I'm not 110% following their protocols, which if I was, maybe it would all be gone by now. But, you know, I eat healthy, I work out, I reduce stress as much as possible. I do the best that I can, which is the best. And yes, I've lost the weight. I mean, that was, you know, something last few years ago. And it's, you know, I'm like, wow, I'm me again. Like, I feel like me again. It feels so good. But then like, okay, I lost the weight and everything. And then of course the show airs and I'm just then become, I feel just like very chaotic, you know, relationships have been difficult. I'm a hyper aware person because of all the self-work that I've done. So I know when I'm dating someone that's really not, you know, not necessarily the type of guy that I see myself marrying, but I'm like, well, I'm lonely. And I'm highly aware that I am just lonely, you know?
First of all, I just want to give, I want to go back to your story real quick. Cause I'm, as you see, I'm writing stuff down because I don't want to miss anything. You know, going back to college, and the reason I want to give you big credit, because I have a couple friends on my show, Sherry Alsop and Annette Wittenberger. We talk extensively about sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. And the average woman that comes out and talks about trauma is over 53 years old.
Yeah.
So the average woman is holding on to that maybe 40 years. So that's great that you realize, okay, this is not normal. I need to, you know, get this straight. So I just want to give you a lot of credit because, you know, like I said, the average woman that's been traumatized doesn't come out until 53 or 55 years old. So you would have been struggling with that for 30 years, you know? Yeah. So I just want to give you, you know, credit for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, everything happens in the timing that it's supposed to, but yeah. Do I wish that I had maybe that therapist that I spoke to that one time and just didn't have the greatest experience with, you know, also back then, I think therapy is becoming more normalized now to speak about, whereas in the past it had this huge stigma, like, oh, there's something wrong with you if you go to therapy. And it's like, no, you know, and granted back then, that's probably what I thought, you know, oh, there's something wrong with me. Well, no, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm totally okay. I am okay. But then, and again, like I said, I mean, I was just like on a hamster wheel of my entire 20s, early 30s. And then I'm realizing now working with all these coaches and specialists, I'm like, no, the reason why I was doing those behaviors is because I was running from healing and facing my pain and, you know, facing my shit, basically. Although, you know, we're not aware of that until we're aware of it. And maybe, you know, I think that that's why some people, they settle in relationships that don't really serve them. I mean, I will be 39 this year. And of course, you know, my parents would love to have grandchildren at some point. You know? I would love to have a child at some point. I'm not close to it. I don't even have a boyfriend. And that's okay. Like, I think I'm definitely, I don't know if it's because of the work that I've done, but like, I'm okay with where I'm at. I'm not like, I really don't feel pressure to like freeze my eggs or, okay, well, I need to get married so that I can have a child. Like, I don't have this pressure on me. I'm like, maybe I just like chalk it up to God and universe. And I'm like, whatever's meant to be is supposed to be. I'm enjoying my life and enjoying the journey of all the ups and downs right now. You know, I don't feel like I'm, as much as I want a companion, I think that there's something, and not that there has to be a condition like, oh, until you have this, then you won't find the man of your dreams. It's like, I just don't feel in my heart that I'm where I want to be to attract the type of person that I want.
But now also some of your greatest coaches and speakers, Tony Robbins went through some stuff as a kid. Ed Mylett grew up with an alcoholic father. Gary Vaynerchuk was called stupid in school because he just didn't want to do the schoolwork. He's like, this is dumb. Yeah. So, you know, but they all turn their, you know, their pain
into purpose,
and, you know, their mess into their message. So, you know, and I think because of what you've gone through and because you have, I think you, somewhere the last time I checked was 300 or 400,000 followers, mm-hmm. that now somebody that might've seen you on season one, you know, now you're the same age and you're going through some stuff that's physical. And if you, and you come out and say, you know, I'm struggling with this too. Somebody's going to be like, I'm struggling with that also. So I think, you know, that's one good thing is like my friend Gary Vaynerchuk talks about all the time is, you know, don't try to create, just document your journey.
Yeah.
People are going to care more about what your journey is than just trying to create the best video or the most viral video, because people may watch it, but it's not going to touch them inside, right?
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. I think your story is the most connecting thing. I mean, and some people are like, well, I don't have a story. I'm like, yeah, you do. Everybody has a story. You know, yeah, I get it. There are some people that have been through the ringer in life, you know, and they have one trauma after the other, and some people have a good life and great. Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of lessons in that journey too. Like, you don't have to like have a roller coaster of traumas and challenges in order to share a story. Like, maybe you had a very loving household and it was, you know, your love was through encouragement, not criticism. And so you learned how to love people. And like, the world needs that. Teach other people how to do it. Teach people how to share love and be love and show love and receive and give love in a way that a lot of us were programmed not to. Like, I mean, I was raised in a household that, although my parents loved me, there was a lot of criticism. I mean, I come out and say that, like, I know that I I still see it when I'm around my parents. Like I hear their words and I'm like, ugh. You know, it because I've done some work on myself, I'm like, okay, I don't love that. And I'll have a conversation with my parents. Can you say it differently? I know you're trying to mean well, but there's different ways of saying it that comes from a more loving heart space versus it sounding like this, you know, and they're receptive. So, you know, it's just.
No, but a lot of people don't realize that in the end, we're on our own journey.
Yeah.
And no, you know, like my wife is my best friend, my bride. She's my everything. We've been together. I've known her for over 40 years. But my journey is different than her journey. We're doing it together. But in the end, I got to meet my maker and say, well, this is the journey that I went on. And I think a lot of people are worried about the journey that everybody else wants them to go on. If you don't want to be a lawyer, don't become a lawyer.
Right.
You're not going to enjoy life. You're going to be hating life. You're going to have the money, the house, the car, 3.5 kids and a boat, but you're going to be miserable.
Totally.
So talk about that is finding your passion and then making that passion scalable.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it is. You know, and it's interesting just kind of like going back to, you know, the challenges of my entrepreneurial journey and like being in and out of corporate. I mean, I'm back in corporate again right now, but it has been so beautiful getting me out of my house. I mean, I definitely felt very comfortable being in my house all the time for a year and a half. You know, after I left that job when I had the panic attacks, you know, I was on my own for a year and a half. I was just doing the coaching and just the influencer stuff. And it was extremely inconsistent because I still wasn't good with myself. I still had a very dysregulated nervous system and I was very chaotic. And so was my income. It was great 1 month and terrible the next two. It was good 1 month and terrible the next two. And I was like, this is not okay. And then I have, you know, some personal stuff going on and I'm like, I don't need the stress. So what stress can I control? Like, let me get a 9-to-5 where I'm at least getting consistent every 2 week paychecks. So I know I'm good there, you know, and the job that I received, I am out and about every single day, talking with people. I'm a social butterfly. Like I think me being in my house really was hurting me and my mental health. I was, you know, I think a lot of people too, when they think of someone being depressed, you know, there are different levels to all of this. And you know, when people think of depression, when I thought of depression, I'm like, wow, this person like can't get out of bed, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I was fully functioning. It just felt like I didn't have as much motivation to do things like, no, work out later. I don't really want to go outside today. I'd rather stay home. I don't really want to go to dinner with my friends. Like there were just certain things that I just wasn't really excited about. And it wasn't because I wasn't into it anymore. It was because I really was just like, something didn't feel right anymore. It was unhealthy.
So, you know, now, you know, you are an influencer, you've been a TV star, but you know, I'm sure sometimes you've been on podcasts and all they ask you is about the show. And you're like, there's more to me than the 1 year I was on this show. Like I have friends, I was talking to Kurt Angle, the professional wrestler. And I'm like, I want to know who Kurt is. I don't want to know who Mr. WWE Kurt Angle is. I want to know who Kurt is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure sometimes you're just like, okay, this question's coming. I know this question's going to come. And then you're like, oh, can we just get this over with? So yeah, I didn't want to have that as you were coming on the show, but I do have one or two questions that the audience has asked.
Yeah.
And so if you don't mind,
I don't mind. No, I don't mind talking about the show at all. It really doesn't.
So the first question is, somebody says, is it true that you love green peppers?
No, I don't love green peppers.
Yes, I say that jokingly, but once I heard that, I was like, okay, she's a real person. She's not fake. So what's up with the green peppers?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's funny because a brand sent me a product a couple of weeks ago and it said something like fitness lover, green pepper lover, and like something else. And I like read them out on my Instagram and I was like, well, I'm not a green pepper lover, but whatever, you know, maybe they just meant like greens. I don't know. I don't know. I eat a lot of vegetables, but I do not eat peppers.
I know. I just had to throw that out there. And the last question, like you said, I only got two because this is not about the show. It's all about you and how you've evolved to being a major force for good in this world. You know, somebody, Joanne asked me, she says, what was the reason that they told you, or that there was the wedding was a no, but what was the real reason the wedding was a no?
Oh, yeah. Great.
Because I know, you know, there's three sides to every story. Her side, his side, and then the truth. So I just want to get the truth of what really happened.
Yeah. Let's put it out there. So we both said no. They aired me saying no. So they made me look like I broke his heart. We both said no. We both had multiple conversations leading up to the wedding that this was not how we were going to proceed with our relationship. And we considered dating. While we were going through the experience, we were like, yeah, we're not going to get married. But, you know, like, we're obviously like connecting, hitting it off really well. Our families got along. And so we, you know, had the conversation to date afterwards because we were on the same page with the whole wedding thing. And so, yeah, we show up on wedding day, giving the vows and everything. They asked both of us. And we were actually going to address the audience before we did our vows to tell them, like, thanks for coming. But we are not going through with this. But we love y'all, blah, 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 blah. And they caught on. Production caught on very quickly. They turned us around and they made us do our vows. And so we both had to say no, like I said. But they only aired me. But we did not continue dating after the show. That was his decision. But it was, again, it was very abrupt for me. So I felt very hurt. There was a lot of pain that came from that. And that was something that the mindset coach that I worked with afterwards, she addressed with me. And she was like, are you in love? Were you in love with him? Or do you think the pain is because of the rejection? And I was like, whoa, good question. I was like, I was loving the man that I was getting to know, but you're right. I don't think that I'm in love with him. I said, it just hurt that I was rejected. Absolutely. That's probably been the case for years, you know, but you know, we just never dated after that. And
that's the only show questions I got. So, I want to ask you is because like we talked before we got on air, a lot of people out there, veterans, first responders, and anybody don't realize that in whatever industry you are in, you have a shelf life. Mm-hmm. And one day you're not going to be that thing.
Right.
Correct. And so, okay, you had one season, and then you all of a sudden find out, hey, I'm not going to be in season two. So then you had to start reimagining.
Yeah.
Reinventing and reimagining your life. So what was that day when rapping got done? Did you just sit there thinking, what's next?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when we got done filming or when after the show aired?
I mean, you know, I have it two ways because,
yeah,
you know, I have a lot of friends that are actors and a lot of them, like, it'll finish airing. I mean, it'll finish shooting. And then there's a big difference between, you know, when it goes out and when it's aired. And then you have that time period where you're like, I can't say nothing, you know? Right. So what was that like? Because, you know, once the first day you started shooting and the last day you started shooting, you're two different people.
Yeah, totally.
So what was that like, that last day of shooting and knowing that this is over, but I got a couple years before this even comes out. So now I got to figure something new out.
Yeah. Honestly, so the last day of filming, I felt it was bittersweet, right? Like, I mean, I remember production asking me, you know, would you do this again? Would you do this type of thing? And I was like, absolutely. I loved the cameras. I loved the experiment. I would not like a wedding to be at the end. That was really traumatizing. I was like, but otherwise that would be great. I'd love to do another reality show. I felt good about things. But it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes after that conversation, I walk out to my car. Like I said, I had, so Kenny, his interview was right after mine. And that was when things changed. So I walked out to my car. He got there a few minutes early before his interview and we talked, and that's when he like broke it off with me. And then he went in and did his interview. And I mean, yeah, we had a little bit of communication after that just for closure purposes, but I was like, what? Like, come again? You don't want to continue dating? I was very taken aback. And that's what I think, that plus the end of the filming, you know, I had befriended a lot of production, and not to say that I couldn't like see them or communicate with them still, you know, follow each other on Instagram, all that. But it was just like so much intimate moments and shared experiences. And then it was over. And at that time, you're right, I was like, what do? I don't know what to do. I haven't really been coaching. I kind of took a pause on like my business for the last 7.5-8 weeks. I don't know what to do. I don't have that much money right now coming in. So what am I going to do? And that's when, like I said, it was maybe 3 weeks to 4 weeks later that I hired that business and mindset coach. Cause I was like, I feel like that was me like throwing out the life raft. Like, I'm like, I need help. I'm drowning. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move on. I don't know what I should start doing. Do I start health coaching again? What do I do? Do I need, I had no idea. It was very, very depressing. I felt depressed. I felt chaotic. I mean, like I said, working with that business and mindset coach, she helped me in so many different ways, not just with like business strategy, but my mindset more than anything. I mean, just really helping me work through a lot of stuff. And when I got done working with her after probably the first 2 months, I worked with her for 4 months, but after it, I was like, I don't know what you just did to me, but I feel like a different person and I want to do what you're doing. And I kind of sat on that. I mean, I started transitioning a lot of my content, you know, I was transitioning a lot of my content from like nutrition and fitness advice, because that's what I had been doing for a long time, was health coaching for 5-6 years. I was only focused on nutrition and fitness. And after working with her, I started talking more about mindset, money mindset, self-worth, like things like that. And then, like I said, the inner child work and some business strategy here and there too. And, you know, when you have a certain niche, you grow that and then you pivot and shift. Everyone's like coming there for nutrition, and all of a sudden you start talking about business strategy. They're like, well, I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't care about that. And so it's like your engagement drops and then you're like, nobody likes me. So then your own self-worth starts to diminish. And I think that was it. It's like, had I just stuck with that content and being really confident in that and myself, then that business could have grown, you know, back in 2018, 19, but it didn't. I was like, I'm struggling. I am literally flailing my arms in the middle of the sea. I don't know what to do. I need a life raft. And that's when I started working another corporate job.
And, you know, something I, you know, because people that follow me know that I attempted suicide 2012, because for 23 years I was in the military, and then I'm blinded on an accident. And my career is over.
Yeah.
And I don't know who Richard is. It's always been Sergeant Kaufman. So I don't know who Richard is. And it scared me. So I failed. Thank God I failed the attempt. But what I talk to people all the time is that, you know, there was a Rick, but deep inside there was a Richard. You know, just like I'm sure that there was Kelly, the influencer, the fitness, but then there was Kelly.
Right.
You know, and I think when you finally find success is when you meld the two together and say, if you see me on outside, I'm the same goofy guy you're going to see here. Anywhere I go, I'm the same guy. You're not going to see any difference. And I think that's when you start becoming successful and people follow you, because if I say I love my wife and I treat her good and I adore her, but I'm out at the club on a Friday night,
right?
And then people are going to see me like you're not living your truth because you're just lying.
Yeah. So
about that is, you know, making sure that you're being authentic and being the real you, because that's what are going to attract people, even if they left you. But if they still see you showing up, they're going to be like, huh, let's see what Kelly's up to now. Let me see what she's doing. And then they'll hit that follow button, then start asking you questions because you've showed up being authentic. So talk about that authenticity.
It's hard. It can be hard to be authentic. I mean, like I said, I mean, I know that there were some times that I was showing up inauthentic, and there are many times that I wasn't, and I was totally authentic and very speaking in my truth. I feel like there are some times when I'll share to my stories or I'll make an Instagram post. And I'm just so dialed in with my thought. And I'm like, I have a message to share today. And it's so me. I also love, you know, doing like Q&As on my Instagram story, because I feel like I'm more of I love doing podcasts and shows because you asking me questions, I feel like I'm better at like reactions, like reactive activity versus like me just showing up and proactively telling you my story. Although, I mean, granted, with my podcast, that's what I do and I'm going to be doing. So I'm shifting a little bit, but yeah, I just like with the Instagram stories, I can really dial it in and answering people's questions. I know that all of that every single time was very dialed in. I mean, that's probably when I get a lot of responses, is like when I respond to other people's questions, or when I am being very authentic and I'm just sharing about my day and like my thoughts that were going on throughout the day and stuff. And people are like, oh my God, I've been thinking that too, or I've been experiencing that too, or wow, like this hit home for me. You know, it's just, I think you sharing your internal dialogue sometimes is like the best thing, because that is your authenticity. That's who you are. But it definitely can be hard. And it doesn't matter if you have 5 followers or 5 million followers, you know, you're going to think of, you know, imposter syndrome, like who am I to like talk about these things? It's a lot of that. And just the insecurities, like you were talking about, it's like your Uncle John, your Aunt Sally. It's like, oh God, my mom watches this. Like, I can't post about that. Well, your mom needs to be like, either let her unfollow you something, or just show up as yourself and let your mom find out who you really are. Be you. Like, how can we not be ourselves around the people that are closest to us? I was talking with someone a couple weeks ago, and we were like, it's so fascinating. And I had never met this woman either. We were doing a podcast, and she was like, it's so fascinating that I can have such a vulnerable conversation with you, but if you were to turn around to your friends, I doubt you're telling the same story to all of them. And I was like, you're so right. I was like, yeah, I do have friends that I can share very openly with, and I feel more emotionally safe with, for sure. Yes. And a lot of my close friends, when the time is right, maybe I feel like sharing, but like just opening up to a stranger, it was like, just like I'm doing right now. Like, it's just natural. I'm like, this feels good. This does feel safe. Maybe it's because we don't have an attachment, you know, in a sense, but it's just interesting how we can do that. And we can be so authentic with strangers, but like to people closest to us, we're like afraid.
But like for me, like I know this year we're on track to help 3 million people this year. The new book is about to launch in the next week or two. But I know that the only way I can touch the 3 million people is to touch the one person.
Yeah.
The one person that's listening, that's struggling in life. If I touch that one, then I can touch the 30 million. But if I try to touch the 30 million, I'm never going to touch that one person. So talk about your podcast. You've had over 100 episodes. Yeah. Took a little break, and sometimes I think it's great if you take a little break from no matter what you're doing, because sometimes you know, this is work. You know, having a top 0.5% podcast, you know, awesome. I'm on 1200 episodes, so this is work. And sometimes you're like, you know what, I don't want to do it, I want to take the day off. But sometimes it's nice just, you know, take the time, get a little break, and refresh the fires in you. So talk about your podcast, you know, why you put it on hiatus and why it's coming back even better than it was before.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. I felt like I've taken 2 breaks. I actually launched it in January of 2021, and I have taken 2 breaks. It felt, you know, I would say the first time, I think that I was very much in my head, and this is definitely just like an insecurity thing, and ego really took over. It's like, I was on a top-rated reality TV show and I only have X amount of subscribers. It was very like that. Yeah. And I'm like, and I'm having, you know, actresses and other celebrities and high profile, you know, entrepreneurs on my show, other reality TV people. I'm having all these people, like, why aren't more people listening to my show? It was very ego driven. Not like while I was in the conversations or anything, but I'm saying like what I was caught up on, like why I decided to take a break the first time was pretty much that. I was like, why is this not like, why isn't like a PR agency like help, like reaching out to me to be like, wow, you're this like celebrity from a top rated reality TV show. You got to do it all on your own, honey.
It's like, where are the sponsors at?
Where are the sponsors? Where's the support? Like, I mean, thank God my business and mindset coach directed me to a virtual assistant because they have been my godsend. If I had to do everything by myself, I wouldn't have a podcast at all because I do not like technology. I don't care. Like, I just, I'm like, someone else do what you're genius at and let me do what I'm genius at. But yeah, so I think that that was really it. And then the second time, this past time taking your break, it was a little bit of that, but also I felt like I didn't have a direction. I didn't know where I was going with my podcast. And so I felt like I just kept like having guests on or doing these episodes with no goal in mind. Like, I mean, yes. And the ego coming in to say like, wow, I've had close to 100 episodes. I still don't have a sponsor. I'm not making money off of this. Like, it is a lot of time. It is a lot of effort. Why am I not getting a sponsorship out of this? Like, there are people listening, but I get it, you know, like, and then it's the, oh, well, maybe you should do it this way. Or it was a lot of the shoulds were entering my mind to say, well, maybe I need to have like a really strong niche and only talk about this one type of thing. Like, let's say it's like mental health. Okay, we'll have only mental health experts on my podcast, you know? And so I grow in more of a niche way. And yeah, maybe that is like the avenue of what I could be doing. But I'm a very multifaceted person. And so I felt like I was like boxing. I was starting to like get to a place of like boxing myself in like, oh, well, I need to be doing it that way because that's how I'm going to grow. And I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, maybe it's just like now that I have this 9-to-5 and I feel secure, you know, financially and everything, it's like I like talking to people. And so I don't want to ever do something because for a financial reason. I want to do it because I know it's going to serve people, it's going to help people, and I'm having fun doing it, right? Like, if the money comes in and I get sponsorships, that's great. I would love that, you know? I mean, and I'm pitching myself to get the sponsorship. I do want that because I think that it can take me to new heights with the show. But I don't want to do it for that reason. So
what's the new focus now?
Yeah, I mean, so I am going to have some guests on the show, but I think a lot of it's going to be me, like just a lot of solo episodes, sharing my story, sharing bits and pieces of just tools that I've learned throughout. You know, I am a teacher at heart. I've been a coach for 10 years. Like, I want to almost, I guess coach people, but in a massive way. Right. And so versus having like one-on-ones or like 10 people in a group coaching program, like I want to serve more of the masses. So having a podcast, I feel like I could do that because if there's 200 people that listen to an episode, I'm like, that's amazing. If there's 15 people, that's amazing. Right. Like, I love that. So it's helping people in that regard, but yes, I'm going to have some guests on. My direction, I think in the past, although it was, you know, personal development, dating relationships, mental health, healing techniques, you know, just kind of like how you were saying about getting to know the real person. I've had some other reality TV people, and that's exactly what I do. I'm like, I want to get to know you. I want my audience to get to know you, not the person from The Bachelor or Love is Blind or whatever, Love Island. I want them to get to know you as the person and all the things that you've gone through, you know, even like the entrepreneurs, as you were saying, how they've turned their messes into successes. I want to know that journey. Because again, I think there's power in storytelling. It really connects with people. So still doing that same model, I'm just probably honing in a little bit more on that, like mental health, relationships, entrepreneurship.
Okay. So this is a teaching podcast in the last couple of minutes. If there's somebody starting out their career, their last career ended, whether it's first responder, veteran, whatever it is, and they want to get into a new career because, mm-hmm. like I said, we all have a shelf life, and the average person in America lives to 78. So even if you worked at one job for 20 years, you still have another 50 years to reinvent yourself. So what would be your top three pieces of advice to help somebody reimagine and reinvent their future?
Yeah. The cheapest way, personal development and podcasts, they're free, you know? So personal, like, just start learning and expanding your mindset, because those personal development books, I mean, they have helped expand the way that I think. They have helped shift my perspective on so many different, in so many different situations. And so that is a very affordable way for someone to expand and not get stuck in their pain, right? Because yeah, it can be very isolating. It can be very painful when, again, like you said, you're like, who is Richard, right? Like, they've been doing a certain job for so long. They've been a certain title. They've had a certain label for so long, and now it's just gone. And it's like, who am I? Okay, well, let's redefine ourselves. So the personal development. Second, go do things that you did as a child, or something that you have never done before that you've always been like, I would love to go do that. I'd love to do that, right? Like, go do those things. Find, rediscover who you are and what your likes and dislikes are. You may think that you like, you know, horseback riding, but go do it. And maybe you don't like it anymore, right? Like, or playing in the dirt, you know, whatever it was, go swing on a swing set. You know, go do things that you once did as a child and kind of reconnect to your inner child. Let him or her play. Give yourself that playtime to reinvent yourself. And then third, I mean, honestly, working with someone, yes, it might be a little bit more, you know, costly to do. There may be free mentors out there, but, you know, whether it's therapy or a life coach, career coach, someone to put you, to help you and give you tools and to guide you into that next level version of yourself and to help you really pivot.
And I love that. And, you know, even if somebody can't afford a lot of money, Audible is $15 a month.
Right. Yeah.
I just finished Patrick Bet-David's new book, Choose Your Enemies Wisely. I just picked up The Wolf of Wall Street. I'm listening to that now. I got 18 books. I'm reading 18 books right now. So for me, I'm always trying to improve. But sometimes you have to find a mentor. And sometimes it's better to pay a mentor or a coach. Because when I talked to Russell Brunson, you know, we talked and he said, people that pay attention.
Pay attention. Yep. I was just about to say
that. So for me, like my mentor was John Lee Dumas. And he actually wrote the foreword and the back to my new book. But I invested in him. I invested in his coaching programs. I still use his books to this day. And because I invested in him and stayed with him, he's invested in me. So I definitely think, you know, investing in a coach or a mentor could be the best. Because a lot of people, they won't think twice about, you know, buying a $1,500 smartphone.
Right.
Well, if they listen, why don't you hire me for $1,000? I'll teach you how to start your podcast from thought to profit in 8 weeks. And they'll be like, $1,000? Really? That's too much.
Right.
Like, wait. But I spent over $60,000 and 10,000 hours learning. I'm breaking it down into an 8 week period.
Right. But correct.
So you're still going to argue about $1,000.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. No, it's like people don't value another person's skill sets in a sense, you know, unless, and especially, you know, I would say this too, like in the coaching space, you know, I have friends who are in the medical profession and they're like, you know, I don't understand. You don't have a degree in this. You're not, you know, you don't have a degree in this. So how can you make a business of this and teach on it? Like, isn't that like unsafe in a sense? And I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything unsafe. I'm giving people like business strategy or helping them expand their mindset, you know? And when I was health coaching, I was never like recommending supplements. I was never like doing anything out of my scope of practice. I was sharing my journey. This is what worked for me. This could work for you too, period. You know? So with all that said, like, I lost my train of thought. it's well, just,
you know, like you're saying, like, you know, Michael Phelps doesn't have a degree.
Right. Swimming, yeah.
But he is the greatest swimmer of all time. So if I want to know about swimming, I'm going to ask him. I'm not going to ask him for his degrees. He could just show me his gold medals. And that's right. Enough. For me.
Right. Exactly. It's like, so people like my, I have learned so much through my experiences that I could turn around and create a 20 module digital course and sell that on X, Y, and Z and be like, okay, they're like, literally you can learn exactly what I did. And just like you said, yeah, I have spent probably close to $100,000 over the last 6 years investing in coaches and programs and specialists and experts and all this stuff. And so many man hours, I have invested time, energy, and money. And now I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version for $500 or $3,000. Like, okay, here it is. I'm giving it to you on a silver platter. Yeah, but yeah, it's going to cost a little something. You know, it's so interesting. But yeah.
So
it's
like what's going on with Kelly now? What do you got going on in the future? And I already threw it out there that the book's coming out. So I already threw that out in the universe. So what do you got going on? And how can we support your mission? Obviously, I'm following you on all your social media. So yeah. What else? What do you have coming up? And when is the podcast going to be relaunched? And what can we expect from you in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am in the middle of writing a book, a memoir. So a lot of the stories are going to be in very detailed in that book. I don't have an idea exactly when that book will be finished, but as it's supposed to. But I am probably about halfway through with it. It's challenging to write a book. It's very challenging to write a book. But it's a great healing. It is a very good healing practice for me because I'm writing things and then I'm like, whoa, shoot, that just hit me in the feels. You know, I'll start crying or I'll get, you know, become emotional about something or all of a sudden I'll have like an epiphany of something that happened like 15 years ago. And I'll be like, oh, holy Christmas, that's crazy. You know, like your perception and your perspective changes so much just because you're like seeing the words. But anyways, yeah, so I got the book coming out at some point. But it's the journey right now that I'm enjoying. And then, yes, yeah, so the podcast, it's Chase Life with Kelly, can be found everywhere. It's also, you can watch the videos on YouTube, at Chase Life with Kelly as well. But the podcast relaunch, I want to say in May, is when it's going to air the first episode. If I can get it, I'm quite busy and my virtual assistant team is trying to like, you know, we're just trying to like get things together before launching it so that it's just very an easy process. So if we can get it all together, it may come out before the end of April. But regardless, probably within the next month, I want to have at least the first couple of episodes out there. And then it'll be a weekly podcast as it was before. I think every Monday it'll air. And again, just sharing my life story. I think that that's just like very powerful. I have a lot to say. I have a lot to talk about. And I've been jotting down like things in my notes section in my phone. I'm like, okay, let me do this. And then, you know, even creating content. I really want to create content that, like you said earlier, it's like, okay, is the Kelly that they see on social media the Kelly that they meet in the street? You know, like I want them to make that connection and be like, wow, yeah, you are that same exact person. And not to say that I'm not, I just know that I haven't been totally fully there the last few years as I once was.
And something I love you said is, you know, you have to realize what you're good at. Like yeah. For me, you know, I'm not good at social media. I'm not good at that. But they do call me the male Oprah, the G.I. Joe Rogan. So for me, I want to give the best interview that I can. That's my niche. That's where I want to be the best at. So I know that's what I work on every day. But I have a team that does everything else.
Right,
so
yeah.
I love what you say is that, you know, even like Gary says, he actually says, fuck what you're not good at and triple down on what you are good at and you'll be successful. So
absolutely.
I wanted to say, appreciate that. Now, guys, so make sure, now you're on, I know you're on Insta, you're on Facebook, you're everywhere. So where else are you at? Where are you not at? How's that
going? I'm not on Twitter, if that's still a thing. Not there. I mean, I have an account, but I haven't used that in a long time. But yeah, so TikTok, I am on TikTok, YouTube. Most of my YouTube stuff is just my podcast videos. I haven't got into like the whole vlogging thing. So maybe at some point I will. I'm just, you know, I have to be really in my boundaries a lot too, because I do work a 9-to-5 job and I'm tired and I can't overdo it and push my health boundaries. So I do what I can. I show up how I can. And that's, I have to give myself grace that that's enough.
So. I love it. So I want to thank Sam Rivera. Thank you for putting us together. I appreciate you. Keep crushing it. You're doing an amazing job. I want to thank Vertical Momentum Coffee, keeping me going. Even this is my 6th interview. And so, guys, as you see my T-shirt I wear every day when I'm on, today I decide. And I'm a big Joel Osteen guy. And something that he says is, we can either be a victim or we can be the victor. We get to decide. So, guys, if you're watching this show, you're a victor. You're no longer a victim of your past, but you're a victor of your present and your future. So I appreciate you guys. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to see what's coming up next. And whatever you need, tag me in posts, and I'm going to share it out to my network and get as much exposure for you as I can.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And I loved the questions. Thank you.
I love it. Have a great week. And guys, remember, vertical momentum. The only way to go is up. I love you guys. Have an amazing week.